What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're gonna be? I think it's that right there. It's grit. It's grit.
And we're back. Episode 7 of the All Grit Podcast. We're all smiles here today. On a Wednesday evening, 5:32 local time, we let's just introduce the whole crew we got today. You got your humble host, Caleb, also Adrian on my left.
Hey, yo.
And it's actually the Labra. It's the Labra episode. We got Ivan, the original member that's too big time for us. He only can give us, some half days every now and then to – to come
no, on. No. We elevated him from the practice squad.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
We had a couple first rounders couldn't make it today, so we went deep on the bench. So welcome, Ivan, to the pod. How you feeling, bro?
Great. Pleasure always to be on, but also pleasure to listen. Y'all doing good? Good.
Blessed. How's those Tigers doing, Adrian? Is this bottom of the top of the eighth?
No, top of the eighth. Tigers up 3-0, just two more innings. If they can shut them out, game over. Tigers win their first home playoff game in 11 years. So
is that how long?
We're kind of watching it in the background here as we're doing the pod.
I thought it was 10 years and 4 days.
Something like that.
We just round up. I see what you're doing. Nice.
Yeah, rounding up.
All right.
I was in middle school. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But listen, enough of these Tigers. We're going to talk some Lions. We have an upcoming game this Sunday at 4:25 Eastern Standard Time. We're traveling down southwest to the Lone Star State, Dallas, Texas. So we're playing the Cowboys. So to start off, we wanted to have a Cowboy fan with us today. But apparently between Adrian's crew of Cowboy fans, my crew of Cowboy fans, and even Ivan's crew of Cowboy fans, we couldn't get one of those cowgirls to join the podcast today.
M-I-A.
Adrian. They didn't want any of this.
You know, it's funny. I invited a couple, and, oh, no, I'm too busy this week. It's not going to work. Just a bunch of excuses. So then I was like, all right, well, text me, quick text of your analysis. And they were all pretty much the same. We can get into that later in the pod, what they said.
Yeah, I had one guy telling me that he was going to Egypt. I mean, who makes that stuff up?
What?
He's going to be sending videos and pictures to prove it.
He's a Bethelite. He's like, I'm going off to another country. I'm like, yeah, man, they do anything not to talk about their Cowboys. Right. Anyways, we're talking Lions. We're talking Cowboys. So this week, like we mentioned, we're traveling to Dallas. I wanted to get your thoughts on Dallas's offense versus our defense. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with Adrian on all these questions, and then we can go to Ivan because he wasn't here for the walk around. But when it comes to their offense versus our defense, any thoughts on that, Adrian? What have you kind of dissected from that? What do you think look towards?
Just doing a little of what you call research on YouTube. I only watched, the Sunday Night Football game of Dallas. To see what they're up to. Haven't really kept up, but I got some interesting feedback from Armando straight out of Dallas. He lives in the Dallas area, diehard fan, which I do respect, but he's a Dallas fan. So it's like, I don't know if it offsets. Anyhow, he says our offense is not good this year and Dak's playing like trash. We have no running game, no creativity, opposite to what the Lions have on offense. That was his take on his own offense. And I mean, if we look at their running game, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott is on his last stint. Who else they got back there? That little guy from Kansas State.
Dowdle.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the starting running back right now.
I really think that Detroit is going to immediately, pretty soon, maybe end of first quarter, second quarter, they're going to make this a one-dimensional game for the Cowboys. And they're just, it's going to turn into a passing game for them.
Yeah.
Which I think at that point, Hutch is going to eat. Hutch is going to eat.
You're flipping the Ezekiel Elliott.
Exactly. I'm glad you caught that. Yeah, yeah. So he's probably going to celebrate with a little Ezekiel Elliott celebration there.
Lions for the last 2 years have been top five rushing defense. I think they are still this year. You know, when it comes to yardage from the running backs, if they can start with a four man front, and then they're going to have Anzalone back, they're going to have Campbell back. So there's your six. Do you think we run five secondaries, like a kind of like a nickel, and just, I mean, they can't run on with between those four. I mean, you have Reader, and you have McNeil right there. You got your linebackers for protection. I mean, I think they're going to run nickel and just pretty much double team Lamb all day.
Yep. And then with Brian Branch back, they're pretty much confirming he'll be back for this game, which, man, I missed him. He's going to be a huge help too on the run game. So I've got expectations of low rushing numbers this game. What do you think, Ivan?
I didn't check the injury report these last 2 days, but is Iffy back in the lineup? Like,
I think he's still on IR.
Still on IR? Okay. Yep. Yeah, I think Branch would be a big help. But just answering the question, I watched a little bit of the highlights from the Steelers game when they played Sunday night. It's very true. It's just one-dimensional game. They only can pass. There's no form of running. So that's going to be easier for our defense. Hopefully, we just don't give up so many big yards with CD. I'm just hoping that doesn't happen. If we can just shut him out and keep other receivers, like Brandon Cooks. I don't know if he's still – I haven't checked their injury report. Yeah.
Yeah.
Limit to them. It's going to be pretty easy game for us, and hopefully we can – I know this offense is going to be running the ball. I hope they do all the whole game with Lawrence and also Mark Parsons out.
They're both out. Yep.
Is Parsons officially out?
I don't think it's official yet. But he's like doubtful. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's just still be good. If he's still doubtful,
practice reports come out, right?
Yeah.
We'll get more information. We're shooting on Wednesday, so we don't have all the information on who's doubtful.
They usually come out till like 7 o'clock to see who's practiced, but Wednesdays don't really mean anything till we see a Saturday practice report, then we'll get a good picture. But so, question for you on that, real quick, Caleb, before we move away from the Dallas offense, our defense. So, Carlton Davis shadowed last game for Seattle Metcalf. Do you think that the defense should take the same approach with CD again? What do you think?
I do. Until I'm, you know, we're proved otherwise by him getting burned. I mean, he covered Metcalf fairly well. I know that he was your fumble of the ball last week. I can't believe you said that, but
that was only because of containment, not because of his pass coverage.
And because of his pass coverage, you have to. But not only that, I would still have Joseph or Branch kind of spy him, leave the safety on his side of the field always. So I would leave Arnold one-on-one with whoever their backup, their second string wide receiver is, whether that's Cooks
or they don't know if Cooks might play either because he was out this last game. Right. So their number two might end up being like Turpin. Yeah.
Right. So I would almost say it's Arnold Island this weekend and just move all the stuff over to Lamb's side and go. I mean, I'm not the defensive coordinator, but that's what I'm leaning towards. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think it'd be another good opportunity to see Arnold kind of in, like you're saying, in an island, see if he changed anything in the bye week. I'm really interested to see how he plays this next game.
Yeah,
with all the different penalties and stuff, like he might get a couple that the refs call, you know, just whatever, it's a bad ref call that might happen. But I'm really curious to see if he's made any improvements on his hands.
And you know those Zebras are going to be ready for Terrion Arnold in Dallas. They got off the party bus just yesterday, and they're making their way to Jerry World. So we all know that Jerry pays those refs down there. So Arnold's going to have at least three penalties on him. Just mark that right now. Mm-hmm. All right. So we mentioned Hutch. You had a stat from Hutch. He's had 4.5 sacks in the last two games versus Dallas alone. So he's averaging 2.25 sacks a game.
Mm-hmm.
Over under 2.5 sacks, Ivan.
That's tricky.
Because you're going to have – just think about this.
I'd say the over.
If they have a running game and they have to throw, that means they have to give Dak time. And you know the pressures that Aiden has been getting this year. So 2.5, that's actually a crazy high over under.
It's going to go either way. Hopefully I'm
right.
Or
you're right. It is going to go either way.
No. I'm saying
50-50.
No, 50-50, where it's below 2.5, or he's going to go crazy for like a 4-sack game, a 5-sack game.
Oh, yeah. Hot take.
Okay, right, okay.
Write that down. That's how I see it. That's how I see it. Yeah.
It's either like, did you say 0 or 5 or 1 or 5 or what?
No, I said it's under. It's either going to be 2, under the 2.5, or above, like 3 or 4 well to 5 sacks.
Okay, so I got you down for Ivan said you're getting 2 or 4.
Just either 2 or 4 or more.
I think it could definitely get 3. Like what we're talking about, like if they just shut down the run game early, okay. We get ahead with 1 or 2 touchdowns. Hutch is just going to eat the rest of the game. He's going to have so many opportunities to rush him. He'll get 3.
And I'm going to take the under. I'm going to go 2. Just because it's already covered by you guys. So let's go. Let's take the under, and then we'll see what we all got. All right.
Mr. Price is right.
All right. Brian Branch potentially. No, he is coming back this week. So that's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go over to the other side of the ball, our offense versus their defense. So start with Adrian. I mean, Dallas has been one of the better defenses for the last couple of years, but our offense is just now clicking. So what do you think? Detroit.
And I want to say that Dallas's defense has gone downward this year without Dan Quinn. You know, Dan Quinn takes a coaching job with the Commanders, and they're in a new type of scheme. I don't know who their defensive coordinator is. Oh, Zimmer.
Zimmer.
Yeah. Zimmer from Minnesota Vikings. Yes. So Zimmer's scheme never really worked really well, even when we were bad a couple years ago. We still beat the Vikings under his scheme. So I don't think that their defense will give us much trouble. What I'm getting from a couple Cowboys fans was if Bland, their corner, he might be out as well. Right, and Micah are out, it might be a blowout. But if they're in, then it'll be a fight. That's what they told me. But it's probably not looking good for them. They'll have several second and third string guys playing. So with the bye week, dude, I feel pretty confident. I feel pretty comfortable going to this game. I know it sounds pretty arrogant, you know, to say that, but they have so many injuries and we're just going to take advantage of it. It's simple as that.
Ivan, your thoughts?
I just feel like it's going to be a blowout. I hope it is. Oh. It's going to be just the best feeling just because of the injuries. Yeah. That's a major factor.
Yeah.
And that's going to be their major excuse, injuries. Like, it's the NFL. You have to have a good, like, 69-man roster from top down, you know, practice squad. But I'm going to make – here's a hot take. I can see –
Can you run a hot take on the bottom, Adrian?
Hot take.
So Laporta could get up to 100 yards.
Ooh.
I feel like it's going to be a good – yeah, big game for Laporta. Probably 2 touchdowns, and I could see either Batidis. Gibbs could do 2 to 3 touchdowns. And
oh my God.
That's how I'm seeing it. It's going to happen.
He's like, Hutch 5 sacks, Gibbs 3 touchdowns.
I love having Ivan on the pod. All right,
if he were a betting man, that parlay would look insane.
It's going to be insane, but it's going to happen.
Put down a dollar and you'll get like $5,000 if this works. All right, so look, we got Ivan with 2 or 4 sacks, right? We got Laporta 100 yards and 2 touchdowns and Gibbs 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Put it.
And he said, lock it down.
Lock me in, boy.
All right. But, well,
so because, okay, with these last couple games, what I've seen.
Are these shoot the boot guarantees, Ivan? I'm just wondering.
I hope so. Okay. I was going to add Montgomery at least 1 touchdown. But because what I've been seeing, they've been really locked in with the running offense and it's been opening up their play action. That's what I'm seeing right now with these injuries of the Cowboys defense. They're going to take advantage of this run game. So I'm going to see at least, even both running backs hit close to 100 each, just like the previous game against the Seahawks. So I can see, both running backs getting a touchdown. And because Gibbs, he's more, how would I explain it? Just quicker.
Agile. Agile.
He's more agile. Like I could see him just having more explosive. Yes, twitchy, more explosive plays.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you something real quick, Ivan. So you've mentioned Gibbs, Monty, and Laporta. You have left out the two best receiving factors in Amon-Ra and J-Mo. So out of J-Mo and Amon-Ra, how many touchdowns are they getting? I just need to know because I'm going to read this back to you on Sunday.
Hey, I put it down as with a dub too. That's
important. Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. So these three players that I mentioned earlier before we talked about the Reddit series, I see them having more of a big game. But if we're going to have the wide receivers, I could see J-Mo having at least 1 touchdown. Okay. And
Amon-Ra.
I don't know Amon-Ra. I just see him with the clutch yards for the touchdowns.
Okay, so you got six touchdowns. So we're scoring at least 42 points in Dallas.
40
burger.
A blowout, then – we'll see.
All right. So let's go down to a topic here. I like this one. Offense clicking. Can they carry that through the bye week? And we're going to ask Adrian about our fourth wide receiver named Tim Patrick over from Denver. You're liking him. What do you see in him that you like so much?
So it wasn't just me. Even popular generic shows on ESPN and Fox, they're highlighting Tim Patrick. His blocking this past game was perfect as a wide receiver from what he had to do. He's blocking defensive ends. He's taking on linebackers. Like, this dude's all over the place, and he got 50 yards on against Seattle. So my hot take is Tim Patrick, look out for him, number 17.
Okay.
He's going to have his best game yet. He'll have 60-70 yard game, right? So his best game was last 150 yards. He'll have a 60 or 70 yard game. So he is definitely taking place of what a lot of people missed in Josh Reynolds. He's doing fantastic. And just listening to Dan Campbell's press conference today, he talked about Tim Patrick quite positively, went off. I'm talking about him for 2 minutes. Oh, he's doing a great job. Yeah, and how coachable he is. He's like, this guy's a 9-year veteran, and he's asking the coaches how they want to do it, like what he should do. So he's quickly been one of the guys that they really love in the locker room there.
There you go. All right, boys. So, Adrian, I'd wonder if it's a good time, since we don't have any sponsors this week, to get right into our Speak Pipe questions. I'll give you a couple seconds to get that up and running. So our manager, Miss Megan, yes, thank you so much for running the socials, and also adding to our socials is a little website called speakpipe.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you can go there. We have all of our links on our socials, whether it's Instagram, YouTube. It's all on our link tree that Adrian set up, but it's a really sweet way to communicate with us guys on the podcast. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a speak pipe question that just came in today. We have two of them. We're going to answer those questions, but I don't know, how would the people be able to get to our actual speak pipe, Adrian? You got more info on that? Or
yeah, so if you follow us on Instagram, social media, we will usually have a post with a direct link to be able to do it. It's super easy. Once you click on the link, it opens the site. You just hit record. You can listen to yourself before you send it in, and then just click, and then we'll actually receive it on our end. And we'll just download it and play it for everybody. So super easy to use. And just follow us on Instagram. You'll get the link each week if you want to actually, you know, hear out your question. So
there you go. So we're going to go systematically. Can we start with the first one that we got into our speak pipeline?
Yeah. So this one comes in from India.
Hey, guys. Love your podcast. Just wondering what your thoughts are on the team's current coaching strategy and how do you think it's shaping the future of the franchise?
Thank you, India. Coaching strategy. Now, we talked about that a little bit before. What do you think she's alluding to? Because coaching strategy can be anything. Uh-oh. Is
it breaking news. Tigers just won top of the ninth.
They won?
Tigers win at home.
Oh, they didn't even have to go in the bottom. Okay.
Oh, man. No, they didn't have to go to the bottom. It's over. It is over.
Oh, I like that. Tigers win at home.
Yes, they're not going back to Cleveland, man. They're going to end this tomorrow.
Breaking news. Tigers 3-1. You know that? I almost went to the game today, bro.
No way.
Yeah, I almost.
What are you doing here, bro? Why are you shooting a pot? You could have been there.
I could have been celebrating. I just, I didn't want to spend the $400.
Man, you should have bought early when I lost the first game. That's all right.
I know.
We'll get them in the next series.
That's right. So coaching strategy, what do you think about that?
So the way I view that question is we are actually becoming known for being aggressive, going for it on fourth down. You know, with the bye week, I was forced to watch a Bears game, right? So I'm just like scouting the opponent, see what's coming up, and it was like a fourth and two and the Panthers territory, the announcer's like, oh, they're going to have to punt it. You know, if this was Dan Campbell, he would go for it, but they're not playing today. So we're being referenced, you know, we have this brand, we're being referenced in other games as the go-to guys when it comes to aggression. So I love the style. I know people were heartbroken in the San Francisco game, but it is what it is, guys. Like, you live by the sword, die by the sword. It's what we are. It's grit. It's our brand. You best believe we're going to go for it if there's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's who we are now.
So that is the coaching strategy. If India, that answers your question. And us here as Lions fans, we love it. Some people might not. Some of the old heads might want to go with, punt the ball on fourth and play field advantage. But we go with analytics. Detroit has been above 50% with the fourth down. So I think he's going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Dan is very progressive with that. So it changes the future culture just because as long as he's the coach, he's going to keep doing it. Right. Another thing that changes the culture is all these coaches that are players coaches, meaning they've played in the past. So they know how to deal with the problem. Right? So a lot of these coaches, which do have that fact. All right, let's go back because breaking news, Robert Saleh of the New York Jets was just fired as their head coach yesterday. So in 2021, when these coaches were hired, I have the list of the coaches that were hired in 2021. Think of some of these names. I'll just start at the top here. Urban Meyer, Jacksonville Jaguars. Where's he at, Adrian?
Ooh, he's unemployed.
Robert Saleh, New York Jets. Where's he at?
He just got fired.
Brandon Staley, Los Angeles Chargers.
I don't know where he's at. MIA. He's fired.
How about David Culley from the Houston Texans? You ever heard of him?
Yeah, he was, I think it was a special teams coordinator with the Ravens right before. He just had a one-year stint and he got canned. Okay.
And then we'll throw in Nick Sirianni, who is – we would both agree on the hot seat in Philly.
Yeah, he's on the hot seat this year.
And last but certainly not least, Dan biting knee, kneecap, Campbell.
Bro, he's unique.
So my point being is every single one of these coaches would have been looked at as more superior than Dan Campbell when he came into the league.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, not even Robert Saleh played. Mm-hmm. He looks like he could have played, but none of these coaches played in the NFL.
Correct.
Except for Dan Campbell. And that is, I mean, it's getting around all the talking heads. Like, there's something about coaches that have played. There's something about Dan Campbell that players love to play for him. And so that's the culture. It's changing. And India, thank you for the question, because if he keeps doing this, he's going to have teams begging, or team members, teammates, players begging to come here and play.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. We got one more speak pipe question. It's coming from our good friend, Jay Will. Holler at us, Jay Will. What you got for us?
Shout out, bro.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's your boy, Jay Will. Loving what you're doing with the podcast. I am chiming in on what do you think the Lions are going to do come trade deadline. We got some needs. We need some help on the D-line. We need some help in the secondary, wide receiver. We have depth, but we need to shore up some of these key parts. And there's guys out there like Trey Hendrickson, Buda Baker, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams that could fill those needs. Now, for the first time in a long time, Detroit is a destination. We got a winning culture, great coaching staff. The city is amazing right now. The players, they love what's going on. They're all working together as a unit. And we have cap space. So some of these players I do think could fit and we could make moves for. So I'm just chiming in to see what you guys think. Also, shout out my man Dave. Had a great time golfing with him this past weekend. 2-on-2, if anybody wants to come see us, you know where to holler at them. All Grit Podcast. It's your boy Jay Will. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Hey.
We're here first.
Shout out to Dave.
I'll take you on golf. You just named the place and time. My wife and I will take you on, buddy. All right. What do you think about that mess?
Yeah, trades, man. It's going to start moving. I know we already got trade rumors on Davante Adams.
He ain't coming here.
He's not coming. What I would like to see, I would be really excited for an edge. Yeah. I would be really excited for an edge with Davenport out for the season, just being done. It'd be nice to have another guy on that side. But other than that, honestly, if we go through the trade deadline without getting a wide receiver, I'm okay, dude. I'm honestly okay. With Tim Patrick playing so well and Allen Robinson is still getting acclimated to the offense, I think we'll be fine. The one thing is bring in a new offensive player. Ben Johnson's plays, scheme, dude, it's complicated. It's complicated. It's a lot to learn and a lot to get that chemistry with Goff as well. So I could see if they don't trade for a wide receiver. I think that's the only thing that, you know, would be nice icing on the cake for the offense, but I'm okay if they don't trade for anybody on the offense, but defense, I do want that edge.
Interesting that you say that, because from Jay Will's comment there, I was kind of writing down a point that, or a aspect of the team that I agree with. And he threw out all kinds of stuff, but I absolutely agree with your take on that, Adrian. I wrote down D-line. There's got to be somebody. Mm-hmm. And honestly, here's what I'm thinking might happen. Couple different things. So Jets just fired their, right? They're at this point all in because they have to be. They know that Aaron Rodgers is running the thing, and Aaron Rodgers gets what he wants, whether they like it or not. So they will land Davante Adams. That's my hot take. Shoot the boot. It is 6 o'clock on Wednesday. I will shoot the boot if they do not get Adams by the deadline. So they have Adams because he wants it. But because of the money situation and because of the money that's coming off of one of their defensive ends' pocketbook every single day. Now, he's not a defensive end. He's actually a linebacker turned into defensive end. Do you know who I'm referring to?
Hassan Reddick.
That's him. So he's a secret sauce to this. What happens if we can pull a trade and give them something that they need we get Hassan Reddick because we lost Davenport. We clearly Chris Houston is not the answer, and he's not the problem. He's not in he's not in our answer book.
He is a problem.
He is a big problem. So
I hope I'm right.
If we're going big and we're swinging for the fences, can you imagine having Hutchinson on one side and a dude that racked up, I believe, like 18 sat or something crazy last year, 16, 14, whatever. Yeah. It was more than Hutchinson had.
Yeah.
So if they can just, and I'm not saying they're going to sign him because they don't have the money for future years, but they could definitely sign him this year, and then they can just drop him next year.
You never know.
Super Bowl run. Yeah. So I do like the D-line. That would be like my top favorite. Because I think that he's a veteran and he wants to go to a winning team, and this is a winning team.
That's the only way that I would want a Hassan Reddick trade, because I feel like, you know, he's angry. He wants a long-term contract. I don't want to give him a long-term contract. But if he wants to come to Lions because, you know, he hears all the great things that are happening here, we're a Super Bowl contender, and Brad Holmes pulls his magic to just get a one-year deal with him for the rest of the year so that this guy can prove to the rest of the league he still got it.
Yep.
I'm down for that.
There you go.
But I am not down for a long-term deal because we got to pay other internal guys.
That's right. There you go, Jay Will. That's our thoughts on the All Grit podcast. All right, man. So we're at 31 minutes. We got an upcoming schedule. You know, we got the Dallas Cowboys coming up. We got the Vikings coming up after that. Man, if this was a later in the game season, that game would be flexed automatically just because of the weight of it. So if we win this Sunday, we're 4-1 going to 5-0 Minnesota. That's going to be a heck of a good game.
I think Vikings are on a bye this week, right?
Yeah. So they play us next week at home. Yeah. I mean, their home, mini.
Yeah. I mean, we're already looking ahead, but that's going to be the toughest game. That Vikings game, that they're for real. I don't know. I don't know about that one yet.
I spent some time watching Darnold play the other day because I'm like, this has got to be fake. And I watched him dismantle the Packers. And I sat in my seat. I mean, it was 20, I believe it was 28-0 going into halftime or 28-3. And I just sat there like, this dude is for real. Yeah. And their defense is for real. And so we cannot take them lightly. So,
yeah. I mean, I sent you that meme where you put a quarterback in the right situation. Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, now Darnold, like you put him in the right scheme, coaches, he could be a whole different player. And
Jared Goff.
Exactly. So, yeah, I was laughing at the Vikings in the offseason, but now it's like, okay, well, I don't think they're like a 5-0 team. We're like best in the league, but they are a very, very stout team that we need to definitely respect. And going into that game is going to be tough.
Yep. So let's get some quick predictions in here. Ivan is predicting 65-0. He kind of cut off a little early.
Vildor left the building.
We'll put him down at 65-0 Detroit. Adrian, your thoughts on a prediction?
I think we'll have like a 38-20. Something kind of similar to the Seahawks game where our offense does pretty well. Defense does better than that game though. So to put a prediction, 38-14.
All right. We're pretty close. Oh, 38-14. Wow.
Just going to put a field goal in there.
No, that's more than what I had. I had 35-21. Right. So a two touchdown game.
Yeah.
So you're a little higher than that. So yeah, we'll see. We got these written down. I'm at 35-21, and this is crazy that, like you said, we don't want to be cocky going into Dallas, but they're hitting the injury bug right now, and we're coming out of the injury bug. So we're getting Frank Ragnow back. We're getting Branch back. Tim Patrick, like you said, he's there to back up all of our wide receivers. I mean, we're just healthy, man. We're so healthy. So it's going to be a good game. All right, man. Episode 7.
That's right. Can't wait. Bye week was tough to get through. Right back at it here. We go Sunday. Do you think Skipper is going to report eligible? That'd be sick if he did.
He's going to report eligible. It's just
that'd be awesome.
They call it.
They can't throw it again. They'll double team him, bro.
I can't wait for them to report him eligible though.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. All right, boys. Well, All Grit Podcast signing out. We will have our next episode probably Monday evening following the Sunday game once we get the crew together. Yeah. And we'll see. I mean, me and Adrian just trying to hold it down. Everyone's working out of town.
Have a great week, y'all. Enjoy that Tigers win.